Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church.
Friends, today we're excited to have Pastor Raymond Garcia, lead pastor at Roxborough Church and the executive director of the Philadelphia Project, to share with us today from God's Word. As we hear from Jeremiah, as we hear about the potter and the clay, may we be open, may we be listening to the ways that God is at work through His Word and through His messenger today. Let's listen as Pastor Ray leads us today.
All right, Paley Presbyterian Church, it is so good to be with you. For those of you who haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Raymond Garcia. I'm the lead pastor at Roxborough Church and the executive director of the Philadelphia Project. But to you, and more importantly than all that, I'm just a good friend of your pastor, Becca. So Becca and Pastor Jonathan, thank you for the invitation to be with you today. I'm with my family. We're on vacation. We're down on the beach in Delaware. And so you hear some noise in the background. You might see some kids run through. And all of that is just absolutely fine. God has created a beautiful thing for us to be a part of. And today, as we center on the Word of God, might all those distractions fade to the background, and might He be the center point the same way He has been during our time of worship, and might He continue to be during the time of the Word. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank You for a chance to get into Your Word right now. I pray, Lord God, that You would center us. I pray, Father God, that You would allow the revelation of Your Word to apply to our lives. And as a result of this time together, Lord, I pray that we would be moved to action, moved to response, that we would be people, Your people, who are called by Your name according to Your purposes to reach the lost, to be gracious, and to serve our neighbors. Lord, be with us now in the reading and the sharing of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, at my church, we have a tradition when I call out the scripture that we're going to turn to, we just loudly and boldly proclaim that we've made it there simply by saying amen. And so today I invite you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. I guess I'm waiting for you at home to say amen. I'm there, so I'll assume that you are there now as well. The first 10 verses of Jeremiah 18, reading from the NIV version, says this. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it disaster as I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it to do. Father God, would you bless your word and the retelling of it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what the last couple of days have been like for you, but before vacation, this time had been marked by COVID and by shutdown, by virtual services, and by meeting hunger needs in our community. But more than anything, it had been marked by a lot of questions and people seeking to understand and trying to make sense of where God was at in the midst of a global pandemic. When I went through seminary, there was no class on preaching through a global pandemic. And there surely was no opportunity for us to sit with someone who had already done that and to make sense of it. But the one thing there was classes on was leading people to acts of justice. It was a lot of opportunity to study the scripture and see how God calls us to love our neighbors, to be the good Samaritan, to seek out what is right in his will, and to obediently respond. And so mixed in this time and this season with the global pandemic of COVID, there's a deep-rooted pandemic all around us of sin having its way, of justice being forgotten. And today, I guess, church, I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to rise up. I want to encourage us to see in the scriptures our place in the story of God. In the story we just read from Jeremiah, the retelling of it goes something like this. God has a word for us, and that word is a call back, if you will. And he gives it to Jeremiah via this illustration. As Jeremiah heads down and peers through the window, what does he see inside? He sees the potter doing what the potter does, making beautiful molds and casts of pots and vases and anything else you can imagine. You know, ironically, I wasn't thinking about this, but just yesterday I was with my kids and they had an art project that they could do here at the campground where we're staying. And you could go and you could get a piece of cast clay that had been molded into some form. And my daughter picked out a glow worm and my son picked out a dragon. And then you could hand paint them. You could paint them to look like you imagine it to be. And then they would fire it so that it would keep that color forever. Somebody had to make those shapes. Somebody had to design that. And in the story, the potter is sitting at the wheel and the potter is designing the jars and the bowls. But as Jeremiah appears in the window and he sees everything going as normal, he notices something different. He notices that one of the jars is a little out of shape. It's a little rough on the edges. Maybe there's a spot that bulges out or maybe there's a spot that should be rounded down, but it's abrasive on the corner instead. Now, if it were me, I would just simply discard that clay, pick up some new, and begin to spin the wheel again. But I thank my God that he's got more artistic vision than I do. I thank my God that he's got a better plan than I do. And so God, instead of discarding the clay, continues to reshape. He simply pumps the wheel a bit more and rubs his hand down the edge and with a little pressure on the side, he begins to move away the marred piece of clay and to refine and reshape that into the beautiful image that he has in his mind. Man, what someone with that kind of skill can do. And God, in his conversation with Jeremiah, says, well, if the potter can do that, what do you think I can do? It's a mind-blowing moment. What is it that God can do with a lump of clay, with some dirt? You remember back in Genesis, when God was creating, he reached down into the earth that he had created and he picked up some sprinkles of dirt and he said, watch what I can do. And he throws the dirt in the air and he breathes life into it. And boom, the potter at work. But now this time, the dirt that has been thrown into the air, or the clay that is being worked on the wheel, it's a little out of shape. It's been through some trials, if you will. It's stumbled its way through life a little bit. And it just seems like it's probably better left off on the side. But not my God, not what he can do. Instead, he reshapes, he remolds, he repurposes, he refines, he redeems, he restores, he reimagines for us. And as we simply sit on the wheel and we allow God to do what God and only God can do, the end result is this beautiful piece of pottery that only my God could imagine. Friends, if you're following along, I've got a couple of points that I'd love to offer us from this text today. And the first is this. Notice that the potter is still at work. When Jeremiah looks in the window, he sees the potter sitting at the wheel working. And for some of us, we might think in the midst of this pandemic that God is absent. And I want to say to us as clearly as I can, God is on the throne and God is still at work. And I also want to say this, he's still at work around us, but even beyond that, he's still at work in you. He's still at work in me. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but Pastor, if you knew what I've been through, and I'm saying, if you knew what I've done too. I thank my God that he's still at work. I thank my God that he's still imagining and reimagining and reworking this clay, this broken vessel, this marred jar. I thank my God that he's willing to say, if I'll sit on the wheel and allow him. Thank my God that he continues to reshape and remold this broken, marred clay. God is still at work, and he's still at work in you. Friends, if you have found yourself in a place where you've been losing hope that God is going to see you through something, or that God would continue in you, not in spite of, in the midst of the mess that you've created, I want to say this as clearly as I can. God is still at work. And he desires to be at work in your life. The second thing I think we see in the scripture is that God repurposes. He reshapes us. He remolds us. He makes us into something according to his image and design. Again, I said during the story that if it were me, I would just discard the clay, get some fresh clay and start over. But God has promised that he's not going to do that. God has actually promised that he will continue to work through us, that if we will imagine ourselves to be his people, that he will imagine himself to be our God, that he will continue to be at work in our lives. I like how it says in Romans that God works all things for the good according to his right plan for us. And so, friends, I don't know what you're going through. I can imagine there's been some times that have been really tough. And I can imagine there have been times when you threw your hands in the air and said, but God, why is this happening? Matter of fact, you might be thinking that right now. I mean, look, let's just be honest. Our nation right now is going through turmoil. We've got political division that we've never experienced before to this degree, at least not during my lifetime. We've got injustice that seems to be running rampant culturally, racially. We got things within the church that are now that seem to be permissive, even though it seems as though God says clearly in scripture that we turn away. Friends, there's a mess all around us. And honestly, you and I don't know a lot about Paoli Church, but I've been there once or twice, and I know you've been out to my spot a couple of times, and I know together we've made some mistakes. Friends, I want to say this to you. Please hear me. Please hear me in this. God is at work restoring, renewing, reshaping, redesigning, and repurposing your life. If you haven't today, would you yield to him? Would you say, God, I just give over control to you. God, I want you to be Lord. I want you to take the lead. And as God does that the way that only God can, watch and see what he makes in the days and the weeks and the months that unfold going forward. The third thing I want to say, understand this morning is God designed and desires U-turns. You know, he says in verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 of this text, he tells the story of what happens if the people listen to God and what happens if the people don't listen to God. Maybe you've been in a spot where you haven't been saying yes. Well, you don't have to continue down that road. Hear the voice of God calling you to turn around. Repent. Believe that God can restore. Believe that God can renew. Believe that you are not defined by the mess you've made. Turn back to Him. And if you'll do that, if I'll do that, if the people of God will do that, this land around us will change as a result, because the church, Big C Church, not your church, not my church, Big C, His church, the church will lead the way. God designed and desires U-turns. It's time for us to turn around. It's time for us to repent and say, God, I'm coming back to you. I love the story of the prodigal son who goes out and wastes his life away in a wayward kind of way, only to finally have the revelation that he needs to make a U-turn. And we see in the text that God, or the Father in that story, is waiting day after day after day for his son to have that turnaround moment. Maybe this is that turnaround moment for you. Maybe this is that turnaround moment for all of us, as we hear God inviting us to come back. And the last thing I want to help us understand this morning is this. God's desire is not a forced outcome. It's not like He has all the pieces and the boxes checked, and He's just moving you like a pawn or a figure into that place. God's desire is that our heart and our actions would reflect His heart and His actions. He's already displayed for us how much He loves us. Friends, I'd be remiss if I didn't take a moment and say this. I live in the city of Philadelphia. I love my city. I'm a half black and half white man who looks more Hispanic than anything. I love my cultural diversity. But we as the church have left our voice absent, have left our cry silent for a little bit too long. This is a time, and I know during these weeks of preaching, of guest preachers, I know that each of us have touched on this a little bit. But this is a time in which we as the people of God are being called to take back the seat of leading this nation in the direction of our Father. We do that first through the greatest act, through responding to the greatest act of injustice. The greatest act of injustice out there is that those who know and understand who God is are silent in sharing and inviting others to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That by far is the greatest injustice that exists. The racial discrepancies or discrimination that people are experiencing in our nation today is another injustice that we can lend our voice to, and we should lend our voice to it. Church, join me in crying for my brothers and sisters of color who are hurting this day. Join me in offering our voice to say, God, please. Join me in pointing out and identifying things that are not right in this world and calling for the justice of God. It is clear today that you and I were part of a bigger story. And that story is a redemptive story where God is calling His people back. God's desire is not a forced outcome, but His yearning is that you and I would respond. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in His image. Male and female, He created them. In the image of God, they were created. As the image bearers of God, let us begin to cry for the heart, the will, and the way of God going forward. Let us begin to speak loudly as God's people, asking for what is right." There's one illustration I thought I would share with you as we wrap up this morning. story about two men who were friends. One worked at a car dealership, one visited the car dealership. Jim met his friend Alex at the dealership where Alex worked. Alex said, Jim, I feel like a hypocrite every time I go to church because I feel so often that I fail to live the way Christ would want me to live. Alex then pointed out this illustration. Jim said, Alex, what do you call that space back there behind my desk? And he said, oh, that's the parts counter. He said, well, what's behind the parts counter? He said, oh, that's the service department. And Jim said, what if I told you that I didn't want to bring my car to the service department because it was running rough? And Jim charged Alex to think about that. And Alex responded, he said, well, that would be crazy. That's the whole point of a service department. I mean, if your car isn't running right, you take it in to get fixed. Jim said, you know, that's absolutely right. Now let's go back to the original illustration about the church. Instead of thinking of the church as a beautiful showroom where all the shiny cars belong, let's imagine the church to be God's service department. The place where we go to help people get back in running, in good running order with the Lord. Church, would you join me today in reimagining what church is? Peek in through the window. See the potter at the wheel. Bring before the potter all the marred clay that you are and allow him to reimagine it. Included in that are the things that are deep rooted in our lives that hurt to even uncover. The things that we say and the things that we think and occasionally the things that we do that are tied to ways of thinking that are not of the Father. And as that happens, and we allow God to reimagine us, to reshape us, that refining fire, it might be tough. But I know this. When the glowworm and the dragon, when they came out of the kiln and they were all polished, they radiated the imagination of the artist. I believe today that we, the church, are being called by God to radiate the imagination of the potter. Friends, would you join me in this prayer? Jesus, we pray first a prayer of repentance for forgiveness. God, many of us have journeyed a long time, and the things that we've found ourselves waiting, the waters we've been wading in haven't been your waters. We've made a mess of things around us, and God, we've begun to get so comfortable in that, like a pig in its own slop. We've gotten comfortable in that place, and we see it around us now. And you know, it's coming on the TV screens, and it's coming across the social media. We're finding out that the world around us is beginning to look like the mess that we've been a part of helping to create. So God, we want to repent for that. We want to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I recognize error of the ways. I see some things that weren't of you that I was a part of. And God, I yield that. I give it over. I want it away, God. But not just so I can be clean. But I want to be a productive part of your story. I don't want to be clay that got dismissed. I want the marred parts of my life to be worked out so that I can radiate the imagination of the potter, so that the useful vessel that I am will reflect the goodness of who you are. So God, I pray with my friends at Paoli Church. God, I ask you to bless them. I ask you, God, to hear their cry for forgiveness and their spirit of repentance. I pray, God, that you would throw the festive party the same way the Father does in the biblical story of the prodigal son. We're coming home, God. We're coming home. We're coming home. And for those of us who are like Jeremiah, we're called to be the people who are leading the people of God. And we're looking in the window and we're seeing the potter at work. I pray, Lord, that we would find hope in knowing that you're still at work. I pray, Lord, we would find hope in knowing that you're not dismissing your people because of the mess they've made. But I also pray that we would take seriously, Lord God, the call and the cry to be your people, to respond to you. So, Father God, join our hearts from the shores of Delaware to the great city of Philadelphia, to our neighbors in Paoli. God, alike and called to serve according to your will and your way. May the story you gave to Jeremiah be true for us today. May every one of us find hope in the redemptive and restoration that can only come from you. God, overcome sin. God, continue to daily defeat the spirit of racism. God, continue to re-bolster the true and pure meaning of the word evangelism. Draw us to your heart, that we might then draw others to it as well. God, would you bless Jonathan and Becca as they shepherd these great people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.